The state universities in Oregon are beginning to move apart, not physically actually, but the structure of the university system is changing from one central system with its own board and seven campuses to a more diffuse system with seven separate governing boards. One issue common to most of the campuses this year is a drop in enrollment. There are fewer students at most of the Oregon State University campuses, but two show increases. Those are the Oregon State University, OSU, and its anagram, SOU, Southern Oregon University. Dr. Roy Saigo is the president of Southern Oregon University and our guest in the studio here. Dr. Saigo, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Jeffrey.
Ryan Brown is alongside as well. He is the head of community and media relations for Southern Oregon University. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
And on the phone, we have Steve Clark, the Oregon State University vice president for university relations and marketing. Steve, welcome to you.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
So this all comes with a fair amount of ballyhoo. Steve Clark, let's start with you. Is it a big deal that OSU managed to increase enrollment when just down the road at the U of O, for example, there's a drop?
Well, I think it's an important time for both Oregon State and for Southern Oregon University that enrollments are increasing. And it's an important time for the state of Oregon. We've made a commitment as a state to achieve 40-40-20, which is to enable 40% of our Oregonians to have a bachelor's degree or higher, 40% to have a community college degree or a certificate, a professional certificate, and the balance to have at least a high school education. So we're committed to that, and I know President Saigo and others at Southern Oregon are as well.
As we like to point out, too, the 40 and the 40 and the 20 add up to 100%, meaning everybody is supposed to graduate from high school in the state of Oregon. Dr. Saigo, how are you feeling about the enrollment increase at Southern Oregon University, and how big an increase is it?
Well, Jeffrey, I've been here 4 months, and it's just been a wonderful time for us. The staff have had to get used to a new style, and the thing that's been so exciting is that the entire campus has come together. The senior staff and the staff along the middle line, faculty also have chipped in. So it has become such a energy-creating relationship. And when that excitement takes place, you can pretty much put your arms around it. The good news is that everybody's chipped in, made contacts, we've made phone calls. And the bottom line, Jeffrey, is that we have more students coming to Southern Oregon University, which means that these individuals will have their lives changed. And the bottom line is that we want to educate more students. And as you know, if we're going to make that goal, we are going to affect students who most likely at our institution will require some kind of financial aid. About 84% require some sort of financial aid. And my feeling is that we're going to make a great indent in the population of students who are going to be educated, which in turn will affect communities, will affect families, and that it's going to spread exponentially amongst their peers.
So when there are fluctuations, and let's talk first about fluctuations down in enrollment at any university, do you find that it is often just a lack of desire, or is it often an obstacle like financial aid?
Well, mostly financial in our circumstance. As we have made calls to different students, we talked to one parent in Medford, and she said, you know, my son enjoyed going to Southern Oregon University, would love to go back. But basically, I'm a single parent. I can't afford to send them back. So we asked her to come down, and we evaluated her financial circumstance. She qualified for some financial aid. We gave a dormitory scholarship. And in essence, that young man registered that afternoon. And with tears in her eyes, she thanked us. And that's what we are all about.
At Oregon State University, Steve Clark, what kinds of levers could you pull there to try to work the enrollment up a little bit more?
Well, several. And as at Southern, we do invest significantly in student financial aid. We have a program called Bridge to Success, where between 2,600 and 3,000 students each year pay no tuition or fees. The president just offered a comment about dorm, room, and board. That's also a significant expense for families today. So we're working very hard to address that. We have a model at Oregon State, being Oregon Statewide University, our state's land grant, that we're doing several things to help educate Oregonians, not only in Corvallis, where we grew about 225 students of our total enrollment increase this year of 1,022, but we've launched a four-year branch campus expansion at OSU Cascades in Bend. Enrollment is up there. Our eCampus, our distance online learning program, is growing remarkably. It's up to 4,500 students. And these are students that literally do not come to campus. They learn online. They could be in any community in Oregon. They could be from southern Oregon, from northeastern Oregon. They could be on the coast. And why that's important is it allows them to continue to be part of their family, their community. And in some cases, they actually continue to work. And we think that's a very important part of 21st century learning. We're also expanding our efforts along the Oregon coast. And as you may be aware, Jeffrey, we have a dual degree partnership program with each of Oregon's 17 community colleges. And what that means is that some students who are possibly not ready to travel and be part of a residency campus university like Southern or Oregon State do have the chance to take a year or two of school in a community college environment. That's going to cost them a little bit less. It gets them acclimated to university classes, community college classes, and they could be duly enrolled at OSU and their respective community college, allowing them to capture both advising opportunities and those credit opportunities without losing them. We don't want students to spend money and then find out they have to take a class again because it wasn't the right articulated class to the university that they move on to.
That term articulated, I've noticed, used in a conversation with community college folks last week. You're talking about programs that are designed to carry credits through from community college to four-year college? All right. We're talking about bumps in enrollment at both Oregon State University, where Steve Clark is Vice President for University Relations and Marketing, and at Southern Oregon University, the only two state universities of the seven in Oregon that did show enrollment increases. Dr. Roy Saigo is the interim president at SOU. Ryan Brown is head of community and media relations. And you can call and ask questions at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. It sounds like, Dr. Saigo, there was a fair amount of massaging here to try to make sure that the numbers went up slightly. Is there a real stigma to having enrollment drop? And was it? It sounds like it was really important for you to make sure that it at least held steady, if not went up slightly.
Yes, of course. The Oregon University system had predicted that through their modeling we'd be down minus 2.6, and basically we are up about 1%. So overall, about 4 to 5% we're up. That's very important as far as enrollment. The other issues that we're trying to do is to reach out to the community. And for example, this fall, this winter, we will have a course for the Southern Oregon Veterans Rehab Center at White City. And we went up there, took our veterans, about seven faculty, and did a survey, and we're starting to service that facility. They have over 600 beds, over 40,000 outreach patients, and 700 staff. So there's a big cadre of population that we need to serve. Secondly, we've made connections with the community colleges. Klamath Falls Community College has been very, very warmly received. Of course, RCC with Peter Angstad has been just wonderful. So we do have these relationships, and that we look forward to creating a seamless relationship between the CCs. We also have reached out to the area superintendents and principals, and we are looking at continuing our dual enrollment for the high schools.
Yeah, SOU in particular seems to have a lot of non-traditional students, people who are a bit older than perhaps average college. So you have a bigger freshman class. I understand it's a record-sized freshman class
in the last 10 years, yes. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we've reached out is in Medford, the Higher Education Center. where we've done surveys and they've helped us create a curriculum called Innovation and Leadership. And we have the first cohort of 18 starting the program this fall. So, you know, it's an exciting time, and it's just not the freshmen coming here on campus, but as Steve had mentioned, we're reaching out to provide services. Our online is also expanding very, very rapidly.
Steve Clark, at Oregon State University, I understand the total enrollment now makes you bigger than Portland State University, so the biggest of all the state universities in Oregon. Is there some bragging, some in-your-face stuff with PSU and U of O about this, or is it something done with typical academic reserve?
Well, I'd say with reserve and a sense of pride that our enrollment management efforts and our mission is advancing and is being appreciated by Oregonians, and you know, we're very happy about Southern's growth as well. You know, our alums and supporters may feel a little more exuberance and when a headline occurs in the Eugene Register Guard that says enrollment, you know, UO falls, OSU gains, and they may enjoy that moment of pride, but you know, this isn't about scoreboard. We don't, you know, point to headlines and say, is that a scoreboard? What university presidents like Ed Ray and President Saigo are attempting to do is to bring higher education to communities and to the state, to, you know, transform what we call students into leaders and learners, and really to improve Oregon's economy. This is a state that requires and relies on income taxes to support public services, and the only way we can advance the prosperity of Oregon is through education and enabling Oregonians to work in higher paying jobs, and we think we get there through higher education, both at the community college level and at the university level. The fact is, Oregon's overall university enrollment last year or this fall has fallen, and if it wasn't for these two universities, Southern and Oregon State, it would have gone down close to 1,600 students. That's not going to achieve 40-40-20. We actually need to go the reverse and educate approximately 35,000 to 40,000 more students than we're educating today.
Steve Clark, what's the number at Oregon State, the percentage increase in enrollment?
Overall, 3.5%. That's at OSU Corvallis, mm-hmm. Bend, and online.
All right, so up 3.5%. Dr. Saigo, what is it at Southern Oregon University?
We're about 4.4 to 5%, and a lot of it comes from all of the above.
All right, and let me point out, too, that by comparison, Oregon Institute of Technology in Klamath Falls down 3%, Eastern Oregon University down 12%, so some big changes here. We're talking to Dr. Roy Saigo and Ryan Brown from Southern Oregon University, Steve Clark at Oregon State about enrollment. Here is Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you. I'd like to ask the guests if they know of or if they're even considering what's being done in Europe, especially Germany. Or are they compared to keep doing what we've done for 20, 30 years in our higher education, basically try to get everybody to go to college, and hopefully they get a good job, which doesn't work anymore. And they have no idea what they're actually pursuing because they've never worked in it. And then they get out of college with a $40,000 debt, mm-hmm. and if they're lucky enough to find a job, they find out they can't stand it.
So what do you propose here?
In Germany, they start in high school, and they have apprenticeships or training. As you work, you get educated, and then when you get out, you know what you like. And like a kid goes, he does 2 years in high school, then he works a year after high school, and he makes $30,000-$40,000 in a production line in BMW. And it's, you know, we need education with work experience, not just 4 years of education, and then they get out and they don't even like what they're studying.
All right, Bill, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Dr. Saigo, what's the approach?
Well, again, Peter Angstead and our great friends in the Rogue River Community College, they have wonderful vocational programs, and we are working with them very, very closely. I know that Roberto Gutierrez from the Klamath Falls Community College is taking groups down to McAllen, Texas. There are many different kinds of models to use in order to get the students from high school to be more vocationally interested if they desire. And if they do, then we'll provide courses both from RCC and us to qualify the students to move right into those jobs and to do well.
Let's try to get another call in here. We have Vince and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Roy Saigo, Ryan Brown, and Steve Clark.
Hi. This is Vince from Eugene. I was a counselor for 29 years in California. And the idea of increasing enrollment is good, but how come the administration and the managers never talked about improving graduation rates and retention rates? My struggle as a counselor was keeping the students that were having difficulties in their classes getting the services they needed. What are they doing to improve services for students that are having difficulty in college so that they don't fall between the cracks?
Okay, we have about a minute for the answer from both. Steve Clark, let's start with you.
Tremendous question. So we're doing several things. We're requiring freshmen to live on campus. We've launched a first-year student experience that actually links students to academic advisors, counselors immediately, not when they're having troubles, but on an ongoing basis and immediately. We're emphasizing to the earlier questioner's call experiential learning. So students are not only in classroom, but they're actually learning in their community and in internships and things like that. We agree that we need to improve our graduation rates.
Okay, Dr. Saigo, wave to
Well, exactly, rate. And we do have these houses that work on the same theme. We have the honors program. We have early intervention for assistance. Again, that's where the tasting of the pudding takes place. And we are on it, and we're going to try to ensure that almost every student that comes here will be supported to graduation.
All right, graduation, rather enrollment up and working on the graduation part as well. Other efforts continue. Dr. Roy Saigo and Ryan Brown from Southern Oregon University, thank you. And Steve Clark from Oregon State, thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet.